Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and how the fuck does Devolver Digital have that kind of money? Holy shit. And with me, I have...
Bippity, boppity, spoopy, sandy, claws, or whatever. I don't care. It's Halloween. Cool.
And...
Don't look, the interest between Thunder Shadows and the Cars franchise?
Wait. Oh, yeah, I thought I saw that in my Rex.
Yeah, new one hit Wonderland was about. Technically, the name of the song title, but not from the dudes that did the covers.
Yeah, that freaking song.
Yeah, it's the dude that the original version of it.
Yep.
I'm
in the front of
saw the thumbnail with fucking
Oh Lord.
Async request to help out his poor Amy Duck, who's now cone things.
Ah, oh, jeez. Actually, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
But
I also thought I got kind of interesting because it's a request by none other than motherfucking C. Robert Cargill.
That's C. Robert Cargill?
Yes, that's C. Robert Cargill.
Mister, I somehow managed to not walk out of Old Dog C. Robert Cargill.
Yes, that guy who, actually, not thinking about it, if you watch the end of the Patreon listings and Patreon supporters, his name is on there.
Huh, I don't think I ever paid attention closely.
So, he deep as a bullet on the shelf for quite some time now.
Interessante. I feel like I'm gonna have to send that video to my roommate because you have no idea how much she loves the Rascal Flatts version of that song.
I
think she might have actually seen them live before. I'd have to ask.
What hurts the most? Yeah, that song. I know that song.
Ah, the good old days.
When pop country used to be tolerable and not terrible.
Yeah.
And that's on the ape hip-hop too much. What did they do already? I don't know.
Sadly, we have to pour one out for Shibuzi. He has been dethroned by... who else?
Wait, who dethroned Shibuzi?
Who you think?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the charts in a while, to be honest.
Well, you'll know it because all he talks about is what happened last night.
Oh!
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy!
Let's move on to something else. I don't want to think about that guy. But what I am thinking about is my own cold open intro. Because, okay, so brief little tangent. So, like, right after we recorded last week's episode... I got sent something by my roommate, specifically the Slipknot is mid roommate. They wanted my opinion on something because they sent me a song related to... Okay, so I have not played this game, but everyone else in my house is a really big fan of this indie game you might have heard of called Cult of the Lamb. I have not touched it myself. I'm interested, though. Apparently, Devolver Digital put their money into funding a metal tribute EP called Hymns of the Unholy. Comes out today. You probably haven't listened to it because it's not Chromacopia. Happy Chromacopia Day, by the way.
Hey! Well, happy Tyler Day!
Yeah, Monday when we're recording this because, yeah. Pull the curtain, we are not doing this live, obviously. We record this a couple days in advance.
Shocking, I know. But I had to... When I was listening to the song, I had to do a double take when I saw the credits... Who is on this fucking EP? And I just have to ask, okay, Alex, out of curiosity, have you played this game?
No, but I am a little more familiar with what it is, a very trippy kind of game.
Fair enough. So let me hit you with these credits. Let me hit you with who Devolver Digital is getting together to record metal covers of this soundtrack. So... On several kinds of guitar duties, you have the likes of Josh Baines from Malevolence, Sean Long from While She Sleeps, Javier Reyes from Animals as Leaders, Scott LePage and Clay Gober from Polyphia. Drums by Mike Mullion, formerly of the band Monuments. And pulling double duty on vocals, we have Matt Heafy and Howard fucking Jones.
Would you believe me if I told you it's not the first time Matt and Howard have done a metal tribute EP for a video game?
You're going to have to explain.
God of War, Blood and Metal.
Good fucking lord. How did I not know this was a... Okay, you know what? We're calling off the recording. I have research to do.
This EP from 2010 was something Roadrunner did, and they had full band tracks from Mutiny Within, The Turtlenecks, Taking Dawn, Killswitch Engage, Trivium, Opeth, and Dream Theater.
Dude, Mutiny Within isn't a name that I haven't thought of in, like, a fucking decade. That first album, to me, is, like, as perfect of a debut as you could have. Holy shit.
So, yeah, not the first time they've done it, and it's kind of cool when they do. So, and if you're wondering how Devolver Digital has money to do all this kind of stuff, you've seen their quote-unquote press conferences. You know they have funding for weird things like this.
I love those things. Anyway, moving on from that. So, here we are, episode 370. How's everyone's week been going?
It was one of those weeks for me. A long week. We had a big concert here in the city at the football stadium. A big country concert for Hurricane Relief, which raised a lot of money, which is, good. There's been a car accident in the household.
Oh, dear.
Not me, but still, they're annoying to have it happen. So that had to get all sorted out, which it will be sorted out. It's just very annoying. It also happened at a very terrible time, Thursday afternoon, and it was a hit and run involving a school bus.
Ugh.
I say Charlotte drivers are terrible, I fucking mean it. Ugh. So yeah, it has been a very long week, and I'm just ready for Halloween to come and go, because I'm 30 years old, I don't celebrate Halloween anymore. Although, I do like to partake in Halloween-adjacent movies. I rewatched Attack of the Killer Tomatoes last week, and it was a better time, now that I know what to expect. Turns out I'm also 4 years late to know that Grizzly 2 got quote-unquote completed after like 40 years.
I'm sorry, what?
Huh? It's a long story, but there was this movie back in 1982 or 83 or whatever called Grizzly 2, a sequel to Grizzly, which was like a Jaws ripoff, that was never completed. It was only ever known to be out as like a bootleg work print on VHS tape. A certain internet reviewer from way back then talked about it, and that's where I know it from, because in a past life I was a fan of this snob. And wouldn't you know it, I found out that it was completed a couple years ago, and it is absolutely terrible. They finished this movie, quote-unquote finished, with stock footage, terrible editing, terrible music cues, and just somehow an even more incomprehensible mess than the actual work-in-progress bootleg. Fucking terrible.
Good. Wait. I just looked this movie up on Wikipedia. I'm looking on the cast list right now. George Clooney and John Rhys-Davies. What in the fuck?
George Clooney, Charlie Sheen, and Laura Dern are in the movie for all of, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, but wow. See, Charlie Sheen, I believe, he'll fucking do anything for a check.
It was the 80s. But, yeah. Thanks, Tubi! I can always count on you for garbage.
Listen.
Of course, Tubi!
This is the risk you play with Tubi. You can find some amazing niche stuff in there, and then you find Grizzly 2 and Lavalantula. We live in a strange universe. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Not much is happening. Like, it's been the usual thing with work and shit. And I will say this, I finally, after years, after years of putting it off and just forgetting about it, I finally watched that show Arcane. It was good. I liked it. I will say people who, I will say, I get the praise of it. I will say people who say that, oh, this is what anime should be like. You realize there've been more stuff like this before and after this. I get the whole, oh, this should be, oh, this show should say everything. Like, it kind of doesn't, like, it's good. Don't get me wrong, it's good. I was going to say, you know, this ain't nothing new to me, right? I mean, it's just me.
Well, you know, obviously, like, animation in the West has a bit of catching up it's trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to sound all snobbish, so I'm not. I'm just saying, like...
Listen, Western animation will get there eventually. I might have this on the brain, because I finally saw that one video that's been floating around... that one video essay that was floating around the internet a while back, why is adult animation so far behind? You know that one?
Yeah. I heard the title. I heard about it.
It's an interesting watch.
Yeah. I probably should watch it. But, of course, I watch because season 2 coming out, like, next month, and, well, fuck, I might as well catch up to it. And of course, I will mention the soundtrack is weird, or I say weird, but it's more like a pretty much something you would hear, like something to me feels like something you would hear out of a young adult novel, at least. It feels like a soundtrack to one of those young adult dystopian movies. Because you got your alternative acts, your unknown rock, whatever acts, your little sprinkly hip hop there. Because think about it. You have people like Bones UK, Pusha T and Mako, Dizzo Curry, Grizzle and Bryn Joy, I don't know what the fuck the last two are, and of course, and J.I.D.
Oh god, the fucking dragons.
Yeah. Which, wait, I forgot, didn't we get part to a song for, for League of Legends?
It'll be for League of Legends, and apparently for season 2 of Arcane, maybe, which I'm just guessing.
Yeah, because I remember, I wanted to include this, like, in kind of the list and stuff that we had, but I didn't, because when they made the soundtrack announcement for Arcane Season 2, I kind of had to do a double take at some of the names on here. Like, yeah, I expect, like, you know, like, 21 Pilots, fucking Steflon Don, Ash Nico, but then you see names like fucking Fever 33 and fucking Misha Mansoor.
Yep.
Couldn't get on the Hades 2 soundtrack, so he had to go for this, I guess.
I gotta look at this soundtrack. I gotta look up the info on this soundtrack as well.
Look, I'm just saying, like, after writing a whole ass song about every bisexual's Lord and Savior Zagreus, Darren Korb, you gotta throw him a bone here. But we can talk about that another time. Anyway, as for me, well, my weekend was mainly taken up by the Splatfest. I cannot believe fucking Ninjas won that one. And Knights barely got shit. What the fuck? We got fucking outclassed by the goddamn Wizards in second place. Ugh. Also, I gotta chew out the guy who said ninjas are better than pirates. First of all, we are not resurrecting middle school discourse. Second of all, pirates are cooler. Fuck you. What can I say? I'm a One Piece stan. Of course I'm going to say that.
As the one very stupid soul at the AEW show last weekend in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, who brought a One Piece suck sign, just enter witness protection right now.
I just want to talk. I just want to talk, buddy. Oh, God. Anyway, also, there was a pretty funny thing that happened to me the other day that I forgot to mention. So one day, I got home from work. Very, very annoyed by work. And I'm like, you know what'll fix this problem? Alcohol. And so my roommate offers to pour me some. They bring me an entire glass of rum chata. Just that. So I chug it. I am pretty buzzed, but I'm also hungry. Yes, I drank all that on an empty stomach. But what I was craving in the moment was just some cheap-ass fucking noodles. So my other roommate let me take some of hers. What she had is, if you've spent a lot of time on, like, Instagram, TikTok, what have you, might be familiar with this brand, Bulldog Instant Ramen. Or rather,
I had a couple of times. I had the carbonara one.
Yeah, the carbonara one was the one she had. And I did, in fact, eat it as is, including the carbonara and the fucking chili oil. And I gotta tell you, how do I put this? I found a Bulldog Ramen meme of a joke from Futurama, where it's like, it's Bender going like, it's perfectly fine, the chili oil was 10% less than the lethal dose. That shit hurts. Like, ugh. So, I'm drunk, my mouth is burning from fucking chili oil, extra spicy stovetop ramen, and for some reason I keep laughing at stupid Metalocalypse jokes I keep remembering. So that was a fun Friday night.
To alcohol, the cause and solution to all of life's problems.
My roommates were very concerned about all the strange sounds they were hearing. But it's fine. Wouldn't be the weirdest thing I've said that they've overheard. And is there anything else in this lengthy preamble? No, I don't think so. So let's move on to the usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums, all of that jazz. And so what do we have to get started with here? Oh, hey, look, it's The Alchemist O'Clock. Never taking a rest, even after a new album, I see.
Yep, and I mentioned that last week it was his birthday.
Nice.
He's now I think he's now 47. He's 47.
Damn.
Yep, and he's at the little freestyle, as you call it, or something like that. Well, anyway, it's Lucy. Feature rappers Big Noid and Big Twins, which is called Team Infamous, which is okay, which I kind of get because, like, you know, those two are associated with Mobb Deep, that being, you know, Havoc and Prodigy, and this is like something you would hear Mobb Deep on. You would hear Mobb Deep on, which is kind of menacing, I kind of dug it. Like, it takes me back to it was like, man, I kind of wish I had a Mobb Deep album, but that ain't gonna happen anytime soon. But we'll say Alchemist Kumba lyrics, he's pretty dope. But like Big Noid, he pretty good too. And Big Twins, okay, even though I had it before, because I know, like I said, social with Mobb Deep, and I heard him like a few times, maybe way back then, but. Maybe my memory's not that clear about last time I heard him, but they were good here too. Like the song is a good like 3 minutes, and this is pretty good. Lucy, like I kind of wish this was on the last album, to be honest. I mean, because I know he released that in a remix to Ferrari's in the Rain with Schoolboy and Freddie Gibbs, but this was pretty good too.
Yeah, pretty damn good shit. Anyway, what's next on the list?
All right. So I mean, so we got a pair of artists that I have heard of, Smooth Times, and then an artist that you definitely know I heard of. The first being Romy, a singer part of the XX, who's, you know, obviously she with, you know, Jamie XX and all that shit. But, you know, the guitars and co-vocals of that. And then also you have, well, Sampha. I can explain if you know how I feel about Sampha. So I guess they did a little duet, or I want to say it's a cover. I want to say it's a cover or something. Which, let's see, or well, okay, okay, not really. Do this. This original song is called "I'm on Your Team." This very, you know, slow mo piano ballad, you know, piano ballad, which got two of them singing, which this very soulful slow mo piano ballad, which this sounds kind of nice. It's just kind of nice to get the other vocals to both Romy and Sampha, which is pretty damn good. Like a Romy's vocal, the vocal lyric is, you know, very simple. It's just like basically stuff like, I know it gets hard. Both, you know, someone in the troubles out, all that shit. Like, you know, I'm with you on your side, all that shit, which. Okay, it's a very okay song. It's piano ballet movie, all that shit, which, yeah.
Yeah, pretty good stuff. Anyway, moving on next, we have a duo of tracks here, courtesy of Amine.
Oh, hey, I haven't heard you in a while. So we got two new B-Day songs, Amine songs, and the first one being paired with Louis Pierce, Shmino, remember him? On the video, was courtesy of Lyrical Lemonade. You know that whole thing. And the song was called Passenger Princess, which. Okay, she loves when it's in her, that's not gonna snooze. The thing with Amine is that he comes earnest, sometimes a bit dorky in a way, but these things are kind of fine. And he's fine too. He's okay too on here. Like, I don't know, maybe because like let the beat sounds all right. Like, another time, like, you know, be with your lover, girl, it's like, okay. The song is not too shabby. It's just like, it's fine. So it can be said about Adam, which I think that's his real name, or his government name, Adam. Now see what your name is, Amine. Which was going to say back and forth. Adam he's looking silent, the path of aggressiveness to this shit we've been through, people pressure like ain't good enough for you. Like basically, they basically want to say a lot of like up and down shit, which. Which fits with a slightly more interesting listen to, at least I don't understand content than the last one, but I'll say these two songs, they're alright. Even though like some of Amine stuff, I'm not much of a fan of it. Like, it's okay for what it is. At least that's what I got to say about it.
I feel very little towards these songs. Although I'm going to be honest, when I was listening to Adam, I don't know why, but my first thought was, is this a cover of that one song from Lauryn Hill's MTV Unplugged?
Oh.
I don't know why. Like, keep in mind, I only half remember that original song. So I was just like, why the fuck in the... Never mind. But anyway, let's move on from that to my neck of the woods. So, I gotta admit, I'm genuinely surprised that Cradle of Filth is still a thing. Like, I feel like their time has long since passed, And yet somehow, they are still here for some reason. So, there's no word of a new album yet, but if we had to guess, there's probably one coming sometime soon. Whether or not it'll make good on the very, very strange promise of a supposed collaboration track with Ed Sheeran remains to be seen. Yes, this is a real thing they keep saying is gonna happen.
Okay!
They could be bullshitting, but we have to be at least be open to the possibility that they aren't. Anyway, we have a new single here to contend with called Malignant Perfection, and... Okay, you'll have to pardon me for a second. Admittingly, my only engagement with Cradle of Filth's music in any substantial capacity was their 2000 album Midian, and that was only because it had that one song that was on the Brutal Legend soundtrack, Her Ghost in the Fog. So, you'll have to forgive my French here, but I feel nothing towards this at all. Like, even factoring that out, like it sounds like about what you would expect. Like, you could just take one look at, like, the thumbnail or something, and you know what you're getting. Like, the gothic, spooky, scary, melodic death metal thing going on. There's occasional bits of heavier sections with, like, blast beats and tremolos. You have these creepy church organs. Well, creepy in air quotes. Honestly, this sounds like it's being played on the cheapest synthesizer they could find in the studio. Like, for fuck's sake, get a real string player or some real pianos or something. Like, I don't know, something about all this feels very, like, weak, very brittle, with no impact in the slightest or punch at all. Like, let me put it like this. Tribulation exists, and while my knowledge of them only started relatively recently and technically via proxy through Alex, I could just listen to that for a version of this that has more life to it, you know? That isn't quite so stale and taking up space on a shelf.
Yeah. Now, I'm a little more familiar with Cradle of Filth. I have put it here in my notes as Dandy Filth's outdated edgelord project. So, yeah, it tells you what I think about them, and I will give one point in its favor and say that it's more Nightwish than black metal, but that doesn't mean it's guiltless in the years of cringe that is Cradle of Filth, being responsible for several of those old screamer videos from years past, terrible shirt designs that plagued Hot Topic for years, and partially the existence of Motionless in White. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan here, and this is just this just sounds so phoned in. Like, ooh, it's spooky. It's a Halloween song. Yeah, like, whatever. I'll just listen to the Korn cover of Kidnap the Sandy Claws instead.
Like, the fucking Smiling Friends Halloween specials are scarier than this. Anyway, let's move on to the next track here. So, holy shit, are we really only 2 weeks away from the big Linkin Park comeback album?
Yeah.
Huh. That came up on us a lot faster than I was expecting. Holy shit. In a couple weeks, we'll have the first new album from Linkin Park in however many years it's been. Their first with the vocalist Emily Richardson, From Zero, November 15th. And we have single number 3 here to contend with. It's called Over Each Other, and rather distinctly, this single here is pretty Emily focused. She's doing all the vocals here. There's nothing backing from, like, Mike Shinoda or anyone else. Musically, it's definitely got, like, this very, like, radio rock dramatic feel to things, like radio rock in the modern sense, as there's definitely a lot of those kind of dramatic swelling synth keys kind of being one of the main driving forces of things. You really notice it in, like, the chorus where, like, yeah, there's technically, like, guitars and drums, but they do have a bit of a synthetic production and layering to them. The guitars, at the very least, kind of sound like they're a bit in the background by comparison. It's all right. I think of the three singles so far, this is the one that does the least for me, but, like, I mean, I think this one had to exist to really, really showcase, like, to put Emily at the forefront more so than any of the singles we got before. So, I mean, it does a decent job in that regard, I suppose.
First, I want to preface all this by saying I am so fucking done with all of the continued online discourse all of this has caused. from one side of it going, they're trying to make it so Chester never existed, to Scientology is taking over the band, which, no! Fucking no to all of this. So many people have lost their fucking minds, and I'm so done with it. I have to deal with Dream Theater discourse over James LaBrie enough right now. I don't need any more. Sweet fucking Christ above. God damn. Now, as far as this, as for the song, it's a very solid alternative metal track with a pretty alright dramatic video to it. Clearly K-drama inspired. And it's clearly not trying to be anything more than that. Can we please just start cooling the fuck down now, everyone?
Wait, what the fuck is going on with James LaBrie?
Oh, the usual bit of his singing ability, considering he's almost 60 and his vocal cords aren't as primed as they once were 30 years ago.
Man, sign me up for that discourse. That sounds quaint by comparison.
Yeah, he's become a very 50-50 singer on stage. That's all I'm going to say. Some days it's good, some days it's not. It's just a flip of the coin. But still, everyone needs to shut up about that, too. Just be patient. It will get better over time. The tour just started, okay?
Besides, it could be worse. Could be M Shadows.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to the final single here. So remember Joker, Folly Ado? Me neither. But technically speaking, Lady Gaga was in it. And we got nothing against her, generally speaking. Not even Todd Phillips can make us dislike her. Well, okay, maybe she was bad in the movie. I don't know. None of us saw it. The point is, Lady Gaga is still pretty cool as a music artist. So it's probably fitting then that she's got a new single out, because it's been a while since we've had a proper, like, Lady Gaga in her own element solo album, not connected to anything else. Maybe trying to distract from the fucking reception of the movie. Who knows? But I will say, this new single here called Disease is pretty solid. So, lyrically, if you're wondering about that title, it is sort of a love song, but in the sense that, like, someone is suffering from a disease that can only be cured by, you know, the power of love or something. Except instead of instrumental and vocals that are very sunshiny in that cliche Huey Lewis kind of sense, the beat kind of has this, like, very, like, warbled sort of dark dance pop thing going on. The only sense of melodies you get come from, like, the vocals of Gaga herself and the piano bridge. But even then, the way Gaga sings on this track, there's moments where she throws some legitimate grit in her voice. Like, I honestly, fuck, when was the last time she tried to get a little bit more, I guess, intense and sinister with the way she performed? It's been a while, I think.
The Fame Monster?
Yeah, pretty much. That was like, fuck, that was in high school, goddamn.
That was a long time ago.
Let me tell you kids about when Lady Gaga first came on the scene. Jason Derulo was also popular. Thankfully, it's 2024 and only one of them is still what do you mean Derulo's still doing stuff? But yeah, getting back on the song itself anyway. Pretty solid track. I also really dig how there are parts of the beat that kind of have, like, this blown-out tremolo guitar thing going on, which is a nice extra bit of texture to things.
Thanks, Andrew Watt. Glad to have you here doing something worthwhile for once.
Damn.
So, yeah, Andrew Watt is credited as a producer on the track, so I guess it makes sense. And, yeah, this is a nice return to past form, sounding like a more industrial-edged track that I would hear from, like, the Fame Monster or even Born This Way. It's a nice blend of styles out here and a good teaser for the new album reportedly coming out in February? Well, damn! My partner and I are going to be eating good with her and Dream Theater in the same month. I'm all for that.
Nice.
Okay.
Who knows what else could be in February? Anyway, yeah, that'll about do it for the new songs. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we got a bit of news to talk about, so stay tuned. And we're back. So we have two news topics to discuss here. First of all, we got a big old festival lineup for 2025, specifically Sonic Temple, taking place May 8th through the 11th at the Historic Crew Stadium in Columbus, Ohio. Hey there, Danny Wimmer.
Yep. He's back doing his festival thing, because what else is he going to do?
Yeah. I guess this is just what you do when you got nothing better, so. Alright, we got 4 days here, as you could obviously count from those dates. Unless you don't know how to count, in which case, shrug emoji.
Well.
So, I'm gonna go ahead and get things started here with the lineup for Thursday, May 8th. Starting right at the top, your big headliner is Korn. And following that, we have Bad Omens. I actually listened to their discography recently. I don't fucking get you people.
Hot Topic Core for a new generation of Gen Zoomer Alpha, whatever you call it, Gen Alpha. Is that the new buzzword people are doing nowadays? I don't understand that anymore.
Gen Alpha Omega something.
Listen, this would be this is just bad music regardless of generation. Listen to Spirit Box and Sleep Token.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a 3 Days Grace, again with the two vocalists in tow. You also got Seven Dust, Alien Ant Farm.
Sing it with us, folks.
And just like the movies,
we play out our last scene.
Music video number 5.
This time it'll work.
Anyway, there's
also... We watched too much Todd in the Shadows.
Clearly. There's Orgy. Ugh.
Hooray for that one New Order cover song. And nothing else.
There is Motionless in White. Poppy. Memphis Mayfire. Okay, how in the fuck are you guys still around? I thought everyone forgot about you after your third album. And after that really weird rant that Matty Mullins went on a Warped Tour stage that 1 year. Something about calling the girls in the audience sluts or something. I just remembered it from a Jared Launch fucking video. It was like, it was every pop punk vocalist. Matty Mullins is a horrible person. I was talking about Matty Mullins the whole time. the good old days. Anyway, moving on from that, we have Fit for a King, Boundaries, Caskets, Walkers with an L. I thought it was Wind Wakers at first, and I got myself excited for a second.
Sounds like an old war movie.
Maybe.
Which it might be.
Killswitch Engage, Ginger. We're going to ignore one name on the lineup. We'll come back to that later.
Asterisk. Put a pin in it.
All that remains... Oh, get the fuck out of here, speaking of how are you still around.
They only exist to give Tim Pool money, which... Hey! How's that working out for you, Tim? Take the fucking beanie off.
What if what remains in his tiny little skull falls out if the beanie comes off?
Oh, Lord.
Fit for an Autopsy. Bloodywood. Oh, yeah. Fuck, I knew I was forgetting something. I was gonna put that song on the docket, too. Maybe some other time. Left to Suffer. Ministry, for some reason. Filter. Oh, hey, Health.
Hey.
7 Hours After Violet. Nitzer Ebb. Uncured. And Silly Goose.
Still funny.
Silly Goose. Damn.
All right, Alex, you want to take over for Friday?
Yeah, this will be our back and forth. So for Friday, your headliner for the 9th of May is Metallica of the first of two unique sets. No repeats because, yeah, they're going to be touring all throughout next year. And I get to see them. Hooray.
Wait, they're doing the unique sets? Didn't they do that? Was it this year or the year before? Because I know they did this before recently.
They've been on the road since last year, and then they've just been doing that. Although, in my case, it'll just be one night only, but, you know, whatever. Mm. The demand is there. What's up? Yeah, we also have Rob Zombie.
Eh.
Alice Cooper.
Eh.
Okay. Testament.
Nice.
The fifth member of the Big Four, Exodus.
Nice.
And the sixth member of the Big Four, Overkill. Testament is number seven.
Ah, so for the 80s thrash heads, they're going to have a ball that night.
Yeah. We also have Mastodon.
Nice.
Acid Bath.
Hmm.
Things that make you go, is there something else planned? Suicidal Tendencies.
You think Rob Trujillo's going to pop over to their set for a second?
Probably. They're touring with Metallica next year as well, and I get to see them too, so yay.
Hmm.
We also have Death Heaven. Converge.
Nice.
200 Stab Wounds.
Still haven't listened to them yet.
That's a name.
Yes, it is. And we also have Dead Heat. Cannibal Corpse.
Nice.
Hatebreed.
Eh.
Eh. They had their moment. Municipal Waste.
Cool.
Gate Creeper.
Huh.
Armored Saint, so more 80s thrash. Frozen Soul. Peeling Flesh, all one word. Whitechapel. All Shall Perish. Huh. The Black Dahlia Murder. After the Burial. The Acacia Strain. Upon a Burning Body. And Angel Maker.
So the feeling I'm getting from the Friday lineup is that it's perfect if you're either a boomer thrash head or a millennial Gen Z metalcore kid.
Seems to be.
And if you're a fan of all those things, well, then this is just Christmas for you. Anyway, let's pop on over to Saturday, see what's going on over there. So, Saturday, your big headliner is Linkin Park. Then, following from there, you have... I'm sorry, is that... There's no way that name is actually there. Fucking Incubus?
Yeah, they're still around, because... We're just preparing for the wave of 2000s nostalgia that is going to be so unbelievably industry-filled and artificial, it's not even going to be funny.
When was the last time they even put anything... Never mind. We have I Prevail. Trivium. I'm not a perfect person. One Note. Hoobastank. Sick Puppies.
They have a new album out coming out next year. I don't know when next year, but it's gonna be next year.
Bullet for My Valentine for some reason.
We're 15 years past the boat with these guys.
Well, I don't know the last time I ever had to think about them. When they were touring with Slipknot back in 2015. Anyway, Jimmy Eat World, Of Mice and Men, who are still around.
That's a very weird middle ground. Like, Jimmy Eat World, the band who did The Middle, in between Bullet for My Valentine and Of Mice and Men. Something's wrong here.
Danny Wimmer, you gotta get your shit together. Then we have Escape the Fate, Set It Off, Era... And Nevertell. We also have Grandson, Crossfade, Citizen Soldier, Trust Company, Framing Hanley.
Whoa, wait a minute. Framing Hanley. These guys who did that fucking cringy ass Lollipop cover in 2009.
Oh.
When you say Lollipop, do you mean 50 Cent?
No, I mean Lil Wayne.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And this is their only charting song on in their history on the Hot 100. So,
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, like, Back in the day, this was inescapable on rock radio. It was bad.
Yeah, charting here is a cover. Damn it. I thought Super Edo covering Funky Town was sad.
They had a couple other songs that kind of got a little bit of traction, but other than that, they're not even one hit wonder eligible. Like, they just stink.
I am so glad I don't remember this.
I unfortunately do, and it's burned into my brain. Like,
yeah. Anyway, moving on from there, there's also The Funeral Portrait, Return to Dust. Then moving on down, there's Under Oath, Silverstein, The Devil Wears Prada, Invent Animate. They're pretty cool. Silent Planet. Wish I liked them more, but they're all right. Scary Kids Scaring Kids, and a name I have not thought about in ages, I Set My Friends on Fire.
Okay.
Let me tell you all about how long it's been since I had to. You want to know what introduced me to their music? The YouTube channel Smosh.
Ew.
This was back in ye olden days, when it was mainly just Ian and Anthony, instead of having a bunch of other motherfuckers I never heard of, and then it became Ian and Anthony again, plus a bunch of other motherfuckers I had never heard of. Save for what, you know what, I had to do a double take when I found out that the English dub voice of Lyos in Delicious in Dungeon is a Smosh cast member.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've been there for a while. I think I want to say you've also won the Happy Marriage, I believe.
Yep, and he's Ryoga and Robin One Half. So, good on you for getting those roles, and please leave your past behind you, sir.
Life is weird. Anyway, I guess that leaves Alex to take over Sunday.
Yes, so your Sunday lineup is, back again, Metallica for their second set of the weekend, which is just their thing. So, very cool. We also have Alice in Chains, Chevelle, sure, Quicksand, Cavalera, that's it, no Cavalera Conspiracy, just Cavalera, Corrosion of Conformity, Gimmick Band, whose frontman charges way too fucking much money for simple meet and greets.
You're going to have to be more specific.
Einstein Kills.
Oh, God, those guys.
Why are you touring with Metallica? You don't deserve to be on the same stage as them.
You're going to have to talk to a tour manager, or maybe James just likes them. Who knows?
Fucking gimmick bands. Well, speaking of gimmick bands, Hollywood Undead. And, even more, Asking Alexandria.
Wow, we just hit a roadblock of shit.
A trifecta of shit indeed. Nowhere to go but up. So we have Bad Flower, From Ashes to New, The Plot in You, Fame on Fire, Arch Enemy, whose episode isn't too bad, Gwar. Yes, Gwar. Obituary. Nice. Nails with an S.
Oh, God. Those guys are still around?
Yeah, they're still around.
I remember when I used to like them.
I'm going to try and say this as best I can. Sanguizugabog.
What is this?
Yeah. Sanguizugabog. I think that's about right.
Yeah. Apologies for the pronunciation. I don't know what you are. We also have Shadow of Intent. Category 7. Power Trip.
Huh.
Okay, interesting. Tsunami, no T. Speed, Jesus Peace, Pain of Truth, Candy, and Gridiron.
Hmm. Yeah. Jesus Peace isn't too bad. Their music kind of slaps. Candy's not too bad either, now that I think about it, if it's the same candy I'm thinking of. But, yeah, for those of you who want to see all of this business, again, if you are either a boomer metalhead or a millennial deathcore kid, then, I mean, I'm pretty sure you're going to find enough to keep you amused here.
Yep. Just be ready to spend a little bit of money, as is usual.
It is a tradition for all of these bands, for these festivals. Danny Wimmer needs to get paid, after all.
Yeah.
Though I think they might have to make one little revision to the lineup here.
Yeah. Strap in, people. We are about to enter a world of what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, so remember how we skipped a band in the lineup? So, going back to Thursday, Tier 3, as it shows up in the hierarchy, like we said, there was Killswitch Engage, there was Ginger, and then there was the band that we skipped over. As I Lay Dying. You remember those guys, right? They had a pretty promising career, you know, kind of in the fucking Vans Warped Tour metalcore scene. Hot Topic kids like them. Then Tim Lambesis took a hit out on his wife.
Ugh.
Oh.
Somehow only served 2.5-ish years in prison. Then got out and reformed the band. And got re-signed nonetheless. You know, if you ever want to know why I think cancel culture is a bullshit internet buzzword that does not exist, As I Lay Dying's continued career is why. Look me in the eye and try to argue that shit somehow is real.
Yeah.
And they have released, I don't even know how many fucking albums at this point. Like, okay, so I'm looking down here in one of the articles. Apparently, they came back in 2018. They have been making a comeback. Actually, wait, it doesn't say, like, if they had dropped an album, because it looked like they were apparently pending to drop some new material.
God, we'll come back around to that.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm gonna fucking sully my search results with this shit. Okay, so they had an album out in 2019, and they had another one set for 2024. So, you might be wondering why we're talking about the band, because they've been making a lot of headlines for some very strange fuck shit going on. So, the band had been in the middle of a, European tour, but, a lot of that plans is on hold because, three members of the band fucking quit. First, it was, their current bassist and clean vocalist, Ryan Neff. Then, came, their guitarist, Ken Susie, who was also formerly a member of the group Unearth. And drummer Nick Pierce all announced that they quit. Also, apparently their manager Alex Kendrick has left. So, that might also create some problems.
Yeah, when the manager leaves you behind, something fucky's going on.
So, just for a little bit of a timing context, these three joined the lineup in 2022. Which means they did not record on the 2019 album Shaped by Fire. But apparently there was a lineup change, I guess at some point. Like, they somehow went through two whole fucking lineups in, like, what, 5-6 years? Jesus Christ. So, let me read the statement posted by Ken Susie as he quit. Here's what he said. "My time playing with As I Lay Dying has come to an end today. I leave with so much gratitude for everyone who followed and supported me from my days in Unearth to this era of my career. I jumped into the AILD camp with full knowledge of the heightened dramatic history." Okay, hold the fuck on. Heightened. He hired a hitman to try and get his wife killed. What is heightened or dramatic about that?
Yeah. I should probably clarify. That was all a sting operation, because, yes, he is that fucking stupid. Thank you for asking.
Sting operation or not, it does not change the fact of what it is he wanted to do.
Ugh.
Dude, you make it sound like this is just some Reddit drama or whatever. Like, anyway, moving on. "But I had a drive just to play great music with great friends. Unfortunately, my personal morals have recently been tested to a breaking point." How? What? fucking...
Listen. We all liked An Ocean Between Us when it came out. That's just permanently binned now.
I liked As I Lay Dying, and then I graduated high school. Quite literally. Fuck. And now it's the saddest ending to what could have been the greatest second chance for this band. Ryan Neff is receiving a lot of backlash for stepping down first, and I regret not sharing this decision sooner and standing confidently with my friend. He's a flawless musician and an even better person. I'll miss you all on this stage, and I look forward to seeing you on the next one. Anyone looking for a guitar player? My resume is ready. And then let's look into fucking Nick Pierce's statement. As of now, I am no longer playing drums for As I Lay Dying. This is far from being the ending I anticipated, and I feel I need to distance myself from the band in an effort to retain my personal health and integrity. I keep seeing these words. Alex, I need you to have 911 on standby, because I swear to God, if I keep seeing these words about integrity and, like, trauma, I will have a stroke on this call.
Oh, God. Breathe. Breathe. In
Woo-saw.
And out. Woosah. Woosah.
Let's continue. I want to express my deepest gratitude to everyone who followed and supported me throughout this journey. My goal has and always will be to create unforgettable memories with my friends and write music that will truly resonate with our fans. I'm proud of what I've accomplished on the road touring, as well as writing and recording drums for the new album. Looking forward, I'm excited to continue my drumming career and pursue what I love most, which is making music. My touring and session schedule is now actively open for new opportunities. And, let's see, fucking, God, what was his name, Ryan Neff's statement. He says... This choice comes after much reflection, and I believe it is the right step for my personal and professional journey. I am grateful for the experiences and connections I've made during my time with the band. Thank you to all the fans for your support. And as for, you know, Kendrick, he said he was, quote, no longer working with the band, later clarifying they had left on good terms with Lambesis.
Well,
stating that he was leaving simply because there's just... no work. So, yeah, all three of these motherfuckers quit. As we said, there's a new album supposedly planned for November 20th called Through Storms Ahead. And the European tour... Oh, no, they weren't even in the middle of the tour. No, that shit just got canceled days before because everyone fucking bailed.
Yeah.
And, So where do we go from there? We have the implosion of the band lineup, save for one member, guitarist and backing vocalist Phil Scrosso, who was there from 2003 to 2014 and then came back in 2018. I'm sorry, this man did not bail like everyone else did.
I'm loyal.
Anyway, let's move on. So, yeah, we have all that self-destruction, three members quitting, the manager quitting, the European tour basically canceled, and now that there's apparently a lot of rumors now that Tim Lambesis is current, what, I'm sorry, he got married again?
Yeah.
Again.
Okay. Rob, I will take over. You need to take a breath. I don't want your head to explode.
Yeah. Just go to the next corner.
Sit down.
Give some,
drink some water. Here's some Dun Dun.
Here's some bucket. Here's some Chainsaw Man or whatever the fuck.
What a coincidence. I'm drinking out of my officially branded Chainsaw Man water bottle.
Okay.
Although the Denji design is completely faded away, which I feel like is a metaphor for something.
Okay, just drink some water. I will go over this part as brief as possible because I don't want to talk about it. the rumor mill kind of went crazy during all this. Nobody knows what's going on. People are wondering, there's some stuff going on at home, but evidently Tim's current wife has said, in short, no, nothing's going on, okay? And I'll just quote from Hayla Huntress from Metal Sucks directly. Okay, so it's not an accusation from Danny Lambesis that's causing everything to fall apart in the camp. So what the hell is going on? Again, these are all people who were willing to get on board with Tim Lambesis after he was recorded soliciting an undercover detective to murder his wife, pled guilty, and went to prison for the crime. If that's not your line in the sand, then what the hell is? I'm really curious to see what the hell is going on.
Thank you, Hayla! Someone's making some sense here!
Yes, her, and along with Hesher Keenan, who has basically done all of the hard work at Metal Sucks to lay all this out.
Yes, thank you, Hesher. Okay, so I've cooled down from that. I've drank my water. So, with all of this bullshit going on, there was yet another update in this weird saga. So, as we mentioned, the band was somehow allowed to come back and record an album in 2019 called Shaped by Fire, released through Nuclear Blast.
Nobody's innocent here. Jesus. You're all guilty by association.
You know, let me quote the great Huey Freeman for a second. Whatever happened to standards? Whatever happened to bare minimums? Anyway. So, apparently at some point in all of this, said comeback album was pulled from everywhere. Not just all the streaming services, but even their own Bandcamp profile. Even Hesher Keenan says, which is weird. Italicized ellipses. So, yeah, all of this just... Oh, and I almost forgot about this. There was another statement, apparently, put out by the aforementioned Phil Scrosso, saying that he was dealing with, quote, the bureaucracy slash business side of things, before he could comment on what's going on. So, okay, when he says bureaucracy and business, what does that... Does that have to deal with the manager as well? Because the manager said he wasn't doing shit in his job, I guess.
There's a lot we don't know. As far as what the album situation is, apparently a distribution deal ended in that there was a statement that said, quote, the album has referred back to being owned by the band, which doesn't explain how it disappears from a Bandcamp profile unless that was being managed by the record label. But, yeah, either way, this is very fishy. It's got a smell to it. It does not pass the smell test.
No, it doesn't. And I'm just sitting here looking at all these people who have decided to willingly associate with Mr. Lambesis after everything. And now they're going to play the integrity card. What's that one fucking joke from The Simpsons when fucking Krusty says he's gonna retire from comedy? Why now? Why not never joining the band at all? You do not get to play that card now when this is all public knowledge. Though, I guess, again, if murder ain't the line, then what is?
You'd be surprised how far people are willing to go for a paycheck. With that being said, Alex Rudiger, if your phone rings, don't answer it.
Oh, yeah, he'll drum for a fucking anything, won't he?
Yeah.
Just, well, okay, I'm actually wondering what he's in right now. Okay, right now he's with Light the Torch.
Okay, good. But, you know, still, don't answer your phone.
No. Also, he's busy with, like, seven horns, seven eyes, conquering dystopia, and something called ordinance, but...
Okay, good, so he's busy.
Just keep busy, man. So, yeah, I feel like I'm having a fucking aneurysm trying to make sense of any of this. You know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna put in that one Zoolander clip here. You know the one.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Aren't we all taking crazy pills?
I feel like I need some... I need a fucking painkiller after this.
But, let it be known, all-timer rage-out moment. All-timer.
I am absolutely clipping this and sharing it wherever I can.
Ugh.
But, anyway, and the only thing that's stopping me from being louder is the fact that I'm pretty sure my roommate is asleep in the other room and the walls are kind of thin. Otherwise, I would scream so loud from the other side of the room that you all could hear it. But I realize some people require their sleep. So, Husa. Let's segue out of the news discussions and move on to the last thing that we have to talk about here, which is the new album releases for the week of November 1st, 2024. As we already mentioned, by the time you're listening to this, Chromacopia from Tyler, the Creator, and the Cult of the Lamb tribute EP, Hymns of the Unholy, are already out. But as for what's coming out on Friday, we have a new Skillet album, Revolution. A revolution in what? Sucking? Tribulation with their new album Sub Rosa in Aeternum. The big new comeback album from Autre Nouveau with Love Guess Who. From West Side Gun, we got Still Praying. Which I think I might have written something down here because I think he has two things coming out this week.
Yeah, I think he also has that and something called 11, which is, you know, what 11? As in that 11. Where, you know, from that.
Well, either way, Double Griselda for this week, so yeah, nice.
Which apparently has just five tracks. All produced by Danny LaFlair, which. I guess some be happy that it ain't no trap beats, but okay.
Yeah. Either way,
it was an EP.
Either way, Double Triad Griselda for Halloween from the master and ruler of the universe, Sid Justice.
Man, you were holding on to that one, weren't you?
No, that was just for the moment.
Fair enough. Moving on from that, we got a new project from IDK with Bravado and Intimo. We have a new album from Mount Eerie with Night Palace. Willie Nelson, still kicking, still alive. New album, Last Leaf on the Tree. The newest album from The Cure, their first in 16 years, Songs of a Lost World. And unfortunately, looks like there will be a new Lil Uzi Vert project with Eternal A Take 2. The sequel no one asked for.
Okay. Why?
I don't know. Anyway, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The usual places. Just search for Xander's Thoughts on all the places with, like, the Beowulf icon from Skullgirls on there, and you'll find me popping up every now and then, like, at least once a day, just to talk about whatever. But I will tell you this, my takes, a lot more reliable than Discord's ping. My God, it's been crapping out for us all night tonight. Jesus.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
As usual, mention the media on where you can find me. And of course, my site, my hype one, that was .com. Where, of course, recently I have posted, again, my final Anime Discovery review, my big finale 250th review, which I'll tell you the title, but I'm not going to tell you. You got to find out for yourself. But yeah, let me know that after 13 years of doing this shit, I'm officially retiring to Anime Discovery the thing. So yeah.
250. Great number. We got bottles for you in the back.
Good. Good, I need it.
We got the good shit too, the top shelf shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me at robert@sewerresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at surrealresolution.bluesky.social. Twitter at surrealrezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to jump into the Discord when you see the link so you can be immediately notified whenever new things go up there. That'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business and the likely the album roundup as well for October of 2024, so stay tuned for that. And until next time, you know, I didn't realize the Republican platform was getting its policies from the fucking Frowning Friends.
Fucking morons.